Near FM. The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph and welcome along to The Week in Review. As usual today, I take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. So, I'll feature stories about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. And of course, I'll have a look at those local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the show or you'd like to get involved in the show, well, you can get in touch right now. The text line is open. It's 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. The show, text line is open while the show is on air. And you get in touch anytime as well on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken. And the first headline is about Ken. He didn't get the job, but Melissa did. And he'll explain all of that in a couple of moments' time. A permanent outdoor dining area in Hoth, in the shape of a Viking ship, is awarded €600,000 in funding. Dublin residents are among the most active in Ireland. A Northside social entrepreneur is set to create change in Ireland. Free public outdoor Wi-Fi hotspots for towns and villages right across Fingal. And beach mats as well is the final story. The last 18 months have impacted on even the most resilient of people. But what steps do you take to look after your mental well-being? Irish rugby players are now leading the pack in breaking down stigma, and they are encouraging us all to mind our minds. Tackle Your Feelings is an initiative of Rugby Players Ireland, and sees the organisation provide resources and supports which anyone can use to help them manage their well-being in areas including confidence, stress, sleep and resilience. Dr. Hannah McCormick of Rugby Players Ireland, who is the campaign manager with Tackle Your Feelings, is going to chat to Sarah about all of this in about 15 minutes' time. Then just after one, Sarah will be back again to have a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. And of course, many now actually happening in the real world rather than the virtual world we've been in for the last 18 months or so. Then the Dublin Community Cleanup 2021 will take place starting today and runs until the 19th of September. And it will be proudly supported by the four Dublin local authorities. The event was first created back in 2019, building on the success of previous calls to action, whereby community groups have all come together for Dublin's biggest volunteer cleanup of the city's streets, canals, rivers, mountains and coastline. To find out more about this year's event, Ken catches up with Richard Curtin of Ontashka, and that's at about 1:15. Each week on the programme too, before I finish, I let you know about the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take all of these from the activelink.ie website. Again, every week there are literally hundreds of opportunities there. Local stories with Ken Kilbride. Afternoon, Ken.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah, good. Now, you have to explain. We talked about this on the programme before, so regular listeners will probably know about this. But you didn't get the job at the end, but Melissa did.
Well, the headline actually goes back, and I'll come back to this at the end. It refers back to the fact that last time we did this article, you said, Ken, are you applying for it?
Absolutely.
And I went, I'm considering it. So the thing is, I didn't get it. Melissa Yunkin, who tended goats previously on our family farm in the Burren and Coat, Clare, actually beat 100 applicants for the job of managing the new goat herd in Hoth. And she said, I'm really looking forward to it. And the role is about settling in with the herd, taking them out onto the hill, working as one to tackle the grazing issue. The goats are good at scrub control. They love gorse and graze on it day in, day out if they can. It's a natural way of dealing with the problem. Lots of people remember earlier this year, there was the gorse fires in Hoth, and they burnt an area of approximately 65 kilometres over several weeks, despite the effort to contain them by Dublin Fire Brigade and Air Corps. And just to say, just for myself, you know, last Sunday I did go out and went along Wingate Road, cut through into the back of that, went around the golf club, through that area that's all burnt, up to the top of the summit and back around. So had a look at it myself, both sides, there's lots of gorse where there isn't. So the new goat herd is based at a local farm. We moved to various sites to reduce the cover of gorse. They will graze the fire breaks and they'll create a more diverse heartlands. They'll also be using the Norwegian no-fence system, which means all the goats have little GPS trackers on them. So Fingal County Council Biodiversity Officer Hans Visser said, the fire breaks do need regular maintenance as well. We use machinery to do it repeatedly, but the goats can graze on those fire breaks. It's much cheaper and more sustainable. And from a visitor perspective, it's much nicer to see the goats in action than the machinery. Now, we normally don't do stories that get national coverage. So people would have seen it. It was on, Philip Rommel did a lovely little report last Wednesday on RTE. It was on all the national media. But that's not the first time we did stories months and months and months ago. This is the third time we've done this.
Yep.
So what I'm saying on this is, you know, I actually think somebody in RTE listens to this programme.
And gets the stories. Ideas.
This is what we're going to do 3 months from now.
Well, you never know. You never know, Ken. It all starts
here.
I
think that's what's happening.
On the north side. Yeah.
Yep.
Very good. Well, I think it sounds like this is maybe an easier job than we thought, because you mentioned there the GPS tracking. I reckon I can just see Melissa sitting in a little comfy hut with her coat on, cup of coffee, fire burning, and her smartphone. And she has the GPS tracker on the phone, and she can see exactly where all the goats are at all times.
Yep. One of them wanders off. Yep.
Monitor it there on the phone, and it beeps if they go outside of whatever, yep. And she just has to deal with it. Modern herding, isn't it?
Indeed, yes.
Shepherding, yeah. Okay, now, staying in the same neck of the woods, there is some very large amount of funding, €600,000, for a permanent outdoor dining area in Howth in the shape of a Viking ship.
So, yeah, Fáilte Ireland has awarded Fingal County Council €600,000, which is a reasonable chunk of funding, to build a permanent outdoor dining facility in Howth. And the all-weather dining area will be built in the shape of a Viking ship, and it'll be located in the harbour. So Fingal County Council made the announcement and said that they are now seeking to develop detailed plans before moving to the planning permission and public consultation phases. Minister Martin was out there as well, and she did much the same. But I think the interesting thing about this is the seeking planning permission and include public consultation. I'm guessing, and this is just based on what I think, you know, there's going to be a little bit of public reaction to this. I don't think anybody's going to be against the idea of the outdoor dining. The problem is access to Howth is one thing.
Yeah.
You know, on a sunny Sunday afternoon, the tailback goes to St. Anne's, if not
forget
further.
About it. Yeah.
There's also the plan there to build on the another 2 acres on a drainage site just behind the harbour. So there's going to be more people going to Howth. More people is more seagulls. There's going to be a lot of this. So it's going to, you know, impact on locals, let's be honest about it. So I can see there being a little bit of pushback to that. And that's going to come back to the story we were talking about earlier, people from RTE listening in. This is going to run and run. We will be coming back to this.
We will.
So you're going to see it in RTE 3 months from now, but you heard it first here on Near FM.
On Near FM, on the Weekend Review. Now, us Dubliners, we are amongst the most active in Ireland, averaging 40 minutes of activity every day, according to a new survey, Ken.
I think this is interesting. You know,
I must look up my own stats here while you're telling people about that.
So again, this is, I think it's a nice COVID piece. So compared to last year, the floor where you had the spread showed there's been a 36% increase in the amount of time people in Ireland and the UK are spending being active per day. And it means that now people are spending 45 minutes a day compared to 33 minutes in 2020. So we're all going out for a walk in the evening or wherever it happens to be. And a similar trend is true when looking at the exercise or the number of sessions people are doing per week. So people are now doing 4 times per week as opposed to 3. So again, this is one of the positives, I'm not saying positive side effects of COVID, but people are saying, yeah, I have the opportunity. Because, you know, you see that, you know, particularly people working from home, they say, I can go for a run during the day.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait till I get home.
Exactly.
I can extend my work hours and do things. So a lot of people are saying, yep, here's an opportunity to get out and do some more.
There you go. Well, I'm getting worse is what I'm doing. I thought I was getting better at this. Well, it's sort of a tale of two sides. Last year, up until about June of this year, I was averaging the 40 minutes. Yeah. And surprisingly, over the summer, I went down to 36 minutes. Don't know why. Maybe it was too warm for running and activity. And now, over the last about month, I'm back up to 40. So that's okay, I think.
Again,
I'm nearly with the average, so I'm
I had a look
happy.
At my, it was a couple of months ago, I didn't actually know that I was pressing buttons on the iPhone. The health section came up. The
phone knows everything you're doing.
I was actually tracking everything I do last year.
Yeah.
I was able to say, last year you did this number of steps per day, and you did this number of steps per day this year. And it is up the 20, 36%. But actually, I didn't know it was tracking all that for me. But anyway, there you go.
There you go. It knows everything that you're doing.
Yep.
Now, and this next story will help it to know. Sorry, the story after next will help it to know everything you're doing. We'll come back to that in a minute. That's about public Wi-Fi. But first of all, a story about a Northside social entrepreneur who is set to create some change here in Ireland. Who is it and what's the change, Ken?
So this is a therapeutic service for young transgender people, and it's founded by Sutton social entrepreneur Aoife Ryan, and it was just one of the projects led by people across Ireland who graduated this week from the Social Entrepreneurs Ireland Ideas Academy. So Trans Teens Ireland aims to provide low-cost, nationwide therapeutic supports to young gender and non-binary people and their families. So in its fifth year, the SEI's Idea Academy provides training and support to those with early stage solutions to social problems. And the three-month programme supports participants to clearly articulate, refine and progress their ideas. And the graduating social entrepreneurs will now have the opportunity to apply for seed funding from a total pot of €50,000 to pilot their ideas. And later this month, they will pitch to a panel of judges comprising of SEI staff, sector experts and leading entrepreneurs. And so again, if you have an idea, it actually opens up again next year. So they're looking for applications. It'll be in spring next year. And if you think you have a great idea that will help, you know, as they say, what would they call it this year? See the change to be the change. If you think you can do that next year, so
you have to see it to be it.
See it to be it, yeah?
Yeah.
So again, have a look at social entrepreneurs. There's a lot of people out there with good ideas and they can help with the funding.
Brilliant. Now, coming back to that, free public outdoor Wi-Fi hotspots are going to start appearing in towns and villages across Fingal.
So the interesting thing is, so a total of 47 Wi-Fi access points have been installed at 18 locations throughout Fingal. So there's 7 live access points in Swords, 5 in Malahide, Hoth, Skerries, 4 in Rush, Donabate and Blanchardstown Village have 3, and there's 2 in Lusk, which just goes to prove that everybody in Lusk is really, really rich because they don't need the free Wi-Fi.
Ken, I don't know what you're insinuating or who you might be having a dig at, but it's just that Lusk is a very much a smaller village.
I don't know. I think just everybody's.
That's what it is. Now, the final story you have is about beach mats. Do we need our beach mats?
We do, actually. So Dublin City Council have introduced new friendly wheelchair mats at Dollymount. And the beach mats will provide wheelchair and scooter users with greater access to the North Bull Ireland Reserve and beach areas. And the specifically designed beach mats will extend 125 metres onto the beach from the end of the Causeway Road. And they will afford wheelchair and scooter users greater mobility on the sand. So the trial of the beach mats come after a recommendation from the North Bull Island Oversight Forum to improve accessibility for beachgoers with additional mobility requirements, both on the Nature Reserve and on the 5K beach. And it's anticipated, subject to use and demand, that the mats will be extended along the beach for in future years. So again, it's a nice idea.
Yep.
You can actually hire wheelchairs now. Unfortunately, the hire goes from June to 15th September, so there's only a couple of days left on that. But so, you know, why, if you have mobility issues, you're obviously, you know, going along the sand in a wheelchair is not the best. So, you know, here's a good opportunity and it's a good idea.
Sure is.
Again,
yeah.
Other things, you know, how do you help people with visual impairments?
Yeah.
Walk along the beach. So, you know, very good. There's some done there, good work, but more ideas to be done.
Great. Ken, thanks for all the stories today. You'll be back a little bit later to have a chat with Richard Curtin about the big cleanup that's gone on out and about today.
Yep.
And in a moment or two, after this piece of music from Kate Bush, Sarah will be here and she's going to be chatting to Dr. Hannah McCormack from Rugby Players Ireland about that initiative they have that's called Tackle Your Feelings. So all of that still to come here on The Week in Review. 90.3, this is Near FM. I'm Declan Ralph and welcome back to The Week in Review. Now, don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show or you'd like me to feature something on the programme that you might be interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500 and you can do that while the show is on air, or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at Near FM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Declan. How are things? Good
Great.
To be back.
Great to be back. Great to have you back. So you're going to have an interesting chat now with Dr. Hannah McCormack from Rugby Players Ireland. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, we've kind of touched on it at different times, but certainly the last 18 months have been a bit of a wild ride. And I think they've kind of impacted on everybody in one way or another. So this new campaign that we're going to be having a look at, it's all about taking steps to look after your own mental well-being. It's been led by Irish rugby players and a number of other sports people. They're really leading the pack in breaking down stigma and they're encouraging us all now to look after ourselves and to mind our minds. It's all part of the Tackle Your Feelings initiative of Rugby Players Ireland, and it sees that organisation provide resources and support which anyone can use to help them manage their mental well-being in areas including confidence, stress, sleep and resilience, and lots more too. I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by Dr. Hannah McCormack of Rugby Players Ireland, and Hannah is Campaign Manager with Tackle Your Feelings. And that's the name of the campaign. You're very welcome on the show, Hannah. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Sarah, for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, thanks a million. It really seems like a really exciting and, I suppose, at the moment, particularly kind of timely campaign. I know it's been running for a little while, but can you tell us kind of why Rugby Players Ireland were first kind of motivated to create a mental wellbeing campaign?
Yeah, well, we look after, in Rugby Players Ireland, we're the representative body for all elite level professional rugby players around the country. And we very much want to look after everyone's kind of mental health and well-being, as well as kind of their performance on, we don't necessarily look after the performance on the pitch, that's what they do in their provinces and on their teams. So we're looking after the development of these people kind of off the pitch. And one area of that, and one very kind of focused area of that, is their mental health and well-being. And we know that when things are going well off the pitch, then people tend to perform a little bit better on the pitch. When things are going well on the pitch, then it has a positive crossover into their personal lives as well. And I suppose what we saw in Rugby Players Ireland is that these messages were something that are applicable to everyone. You don't have to be an elite level rugby player to benefit from being proactive with your mental health and well-being. It is very, very important in sport, but it's a very important thing for everyone to consider. And I think, kind of like as you were saying there, it's something that over the last 18 months or so was the biggest challenge that we've ever had to face, and hopefully will ever have to face in our lifetimes, with COVID and the restrictions and the various lockdowns and the various rules and regulations. It's had an impact on our mental health. So I think everyone can appreciate how it's something that we should be mindful of, and we can be mindful of. And that's the message that we have, is that it is something that you can look after. It is something that you can be proactive with. So we want to get those tools and resources and the exercises out. As you said, it's applicable for everyone. It's available for everyone. So we want to share these messages with as many people as possible.
Absolutely. And it's a strong message, and it's an important one to share, I think, anyway. But how do you think, you know, at this point in time, I suppose, when the pandemic happened, we were fortunate that maybe the world was at a stage of technology and stuff that allowed us to kind of keep a certain amount of activity going. But in terms now of kind of talking about what's on our minds and looking after our mental well-being, how are we kind of doing? Are we at a good place with that? Have we more work to do?
I think we are doing okay, and with everything, everyone can do a little bit better. So, you know, there's been a lot in the last decade or so, or even a little bit further, kind of about mental health and well-being. We've had a lot of people come forward and speak about their mental health issues. We've had a lot of people come forward, a lot of athletes come forward and talk about their experiences of poor mental health. And I think what we can do, we can definitely learn from them, and we can be a lot more open about how we're feeling, and we can be a lot more understanding about how other people are feeling. So it's not only about respecting others' kind of emotions, feelings, their thoughts, their mood. It's also about kind of respecting our own as well, and recognizing that there can be differences, there can be changes. These changes are very normal. Everyone will experience them. We all have mental health. Our mental health can be good, it can be bad, it can be anywhere in between. And those changes, and depending on what you're going through in the moment, is going to affect that. And I think we've all been impacted by the pandemic and impacted by COVID and everything else that has brought along with it. So we can definitely work at improving on it. And I think something that's really important to us in Tackier Feelings is that it's not just about talking about poor mental health. It's also about, discovering ways to be more conscious and more aware of our positive mental health. Because like I said, mental health is something that we do have, and it can be good. And why don't we work on making it better? Why can't we focus on improving our lives as well? And we're coming out of, things are lifting, restrictions are going away, and we're kind of coming out of this, I don't know how you want to describe it, this funk that we've been in. And it's a great time to look at that self-improvement. And it's not just for people who, look, we've all had our down days. We've all had a lot of days have been worse than others lately. But we have had good things. Good things have happened for a lot of people. And it's about celebrating those good things. And that's something that we really, I think Irish people can be very modest, and almost modest to a fault. And sometimes when things go well for us, we're actually less inclined to share that information. So it's not just about being able to talk about, look, I'm having a bad day and I need some support, but it's also maybe being able to share, look, I've had a really good day and I want someone to help me celebrate it. And that's something that we want to get across with Tackle Your Feelings, is that you can do both, and both are really good indications of positive mental well-being.
That's really positive, I think, for people to hear, yeah, that it's not necessarily all about, you know, even maybe waiting until something kind of gets, you know, spirals, I suppose. It's literally just that thing of having that everyday conversation, kind of checking in. I know you mentioned there that there's a lot of different mental wellbeing campaigns. There's lots of different people have spoken out and shared their own story recently. You know, people are hearing about different services. So I guess what's unique about Tackle Your Feelings? How does it work, and what can people kind of access through the programme?
Yeah, so we have some great resources, and something that I'm really proud of with our campaign is that not only do we want people to get talking about it more, and we have so many of our great ambassadors. We've had the likes of James Lowe, we've had CJ Stander, we've had Emer Considine and Kira Griffin all coming forward and kind of sharing their experiences. So we have some great ambassadors supporting our campaign, talking about the good and the bad. And what I think is quite unique and lovely about Tackle Your Feelings is that everyone can go onto our website, it's tackleyourfeelings.com, watch all of these videos and get loads of information about how to be proactive with their mental health and well-being. And not only can they go on our website, they can go and download our absolutely 100% free app, which has loads of information about mental health and well-being. We even have some scientifically verified short questionnaires that kind of give you a snapshot of how your mental health is at the moment. And then you can go and start looking at being proactive with your mental health and well-being. So we have loads of exercises and resources and information that explains why it's important, how you can do it, and even when you can do it. So something as simple as we have a gratitude section where people can record what it is they are grateful for on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. We have a section that people can list out their support network, because we all have a support network. Sometimes we're not 100% sure who those people are. So something as simple as writing it down and saying, OK, if I'm having a bad day, I'm going to reach out to this person. If I'm having, if I have a question over something, I'm going to reach out to another person. And if I'm having a good day, I know that this person is really good at helping me celebrate it. So we have that section in our built into our app. And like I said, something that I think is lovely as well is that we have all of our player ambassadors supporting the campaign and sharing their experiences. So we can see that even these elite rugby players who we may look at and say, oh, you must have life sewn up, you're living the dream, you're playing a sport for a living, we see that they're normal people and they have all of the same experiences that you and I have. They have their good days and they have their bad days. They get nervous before matches. They sometimes get angry. They get sad, but they also have certain ways that they recover and they sleep and they think about their nutrition in positive ways as well. So loads and loads of tips, loads and loads of resources that people can engage in a way that suits them. And then we also have an Instagram account at TYF, and we're also on Twitter at TYF_Ireland, and we have loads of information and loads of little snippets of kind of tips and tricks for people to kind of be proactive with their own mental health and well-being as well. So we're very inclusive in that way, that people can access it whatever way they feel suits them best.
It really does seem really kind of really easy to access and to get into, and just step by step like that make a positive difference. I think a lot of those sports players, those rugby players in particular, are fantastic role models as well. And you know, you can see that they have their good and their bad days too. But it's a really interesting campaign. And just to give out that website address again, if we can, just to direct people where they should go if they'd like to check out more.
Yep, it's simply www.tackleyourfeelings.com. And all our information is there, and you can see different ways that you can get involved. We have our overall campaign is obviously for absolutely anyone to consume, but we also do a work program, a schools program. We're looking to get into clubs, and we're actually also looking to start visiting some universities around the country as well. So we literally have something for everyone. So whoever you are, whether you are into rugby or not, something will be there, and it's all freely accessible, so you can have a look at it, pick and choose what you want to work on, and find the habits and the skills that suit you for the moment that you're in at the right now.
That's such a really impactful message, I think, to leave people on. Thanks so much for joining us today, Hannah. I think we could have chatted about the campaign all day, but I hope that gives people a taste of it, and they can go online and check out more at tackleyourfeelings.com. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
And yeah, thanks indeed, Sarah, for that. And that was, it's really interesting, isn't it? A great initiative by rugby players.
Yeah, and I think really easy to just get into and just, I guess, things that, you know, are really easy for anybody to do, kind of some of those little techniques that can make a difference. And then when you see the likes of the rugby players, and I know some of the Wexford GA crew got on board with it recently as well. And, you know, it's nice to kind of see that, I suppose, that they've maybe used some of the tools and they've overcome challenges too. And obviously that kind of mental fitness and mental preparation is such a part of sport now, but I think this is something that can work for everybody on some level, you know, so it's a nice one.
Absolutely, and you don't have to be involved in rugby to get involved in it. So Sarah, you'll be back with us, you're going to stay with us, you're going to go, and we're going to chat about the events after this short break. Talk to you then.
90.3. This is the Earth FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
And welcome back to The Week in Review indeed. And don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show, or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you're interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. That remains open while we're on the air here until 1:30. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, still to come, Ken is going to be talking to Richard Curtis from Ontashka about the big Dublin community cleanup that's on today. So that's coming up in about 10 minutes or there or thereabouts. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. And now it is indeed the local events with Sarah. Hiya, Sarah.
Hi, Declan. Terry, thanks. Just the little bit of sunshine breaking through here today. I hope it's the same in Dublin. But,
yeah, it's warm. A little bit of, we can't really see much in the studio here, but it looks a little bit sort of bright out there. So hopefully no rain anyway. It'd be great for the final later on.
Yeah, absolutely. And lots more happening over the next few days too. So fingers crossed.
There surely is. Yeah. So you're suggesting we dive into Fingal poetry.
Yes, this is going to be launched at the Skerry Mills Courtyard next Thursday evening, September 16th, and it is indeed the 2021 Fingal Poetry Festival. So the place to be for wordsmiths and book fans and anybody who appreciates poetry. Certainly it's a special weekend in store. They're going to have guest poets who will be joined by local voices, invited musicians, and a real celebration of poetry and music taking place over the weekend, next weekend. So it's kicking off Friday 17th with the Fingal Poetry Slam. They're also going to have online poetry and songwriting workshops taking place as part of the festival on Saturday morning then. So it'll be, as we say, creative fun for all the family in Floraville on Saturday afternoon, and a poetry reading by Rita Ann Higgins as well. And I know she's one of interest to many. She's a particularly interesting poet, so she's going to be featuring. Festival goers can also enjoy a poetry picnic, a poetry in a van, new chapters, final verses, and lots more as the festival rounds off on Sunday, that's the 19th of September. So a lot planned there, all taking place in and around Skerry's, and if that's something that has tickled your cultural taste buds, then you can go online and check it all out at fingalpoetryfestival.com.
Brilliant. Now, Ken will be very happy with this next article, because first of all, you've put a pun into the headline, which is great. Are puns a form of poetry, I wonder? I'd say they are. The wordsmithing, anyway. I'll ask Ken to research that while we're chatting through here. He can tell us at the end. But your line is gearing up for Bike Week 2021. Even Ken would be proud of that one, wouldn't you, Ken?
Oh, absolutely. On your bike, as they'd say.
On your bike is right.
So tell us
about it, Sarah.
Well, National Bike Week is kicking into full gear tomorrow. There's a variety of in-person and online events set to take place over the course of next week, and they're all based around highlighting the benefits of cycling. There's a family-friendly bike festival as the flagship event of the week, and that is wheeling its way into Fairview Park from 1 to 5 tomorrow afternoon, and that has the brilliant name of Pedal Palooza, so that might be worth checking out. Individuals of all ages and abilities are invited along there to join in workshops, guided cycles, fun activities, all designed to get people moving. There's going to be demonstrations too of e-bikes and cargo bikes, there'll be information tents, even a cycling obstacle course and more promised there as well. So that's at Fairview Park tomorrow afternoon if you fancy checking it out. And the week then is also highlighting monthly cycles as one of the many different types of cycling initiatives that are happening in Dublin and across the country. And that, as you might guess, is a women focused with the aim of bringing women in Dublin together every month for an inclusive cycle around the city. So maybe a nice way, a gentle way to kind of get on your bike to kick off. They also have city centre lunchtime tours taking place all throughout the week, kicking off at 1:30 every day for an hour, and they start at Whitefriar Place just beside Angel Street there, and they're providing bikes as well. So that might be one that you might fancy trying too. If you're a bike newbie, there's no excuse, they're all provided. And you can check out the details of Bike Week 2021 on the nationaltransport.ie website. It comes up, or if you search Bike Week 2021, you'll find that as well.
Brilliant. Now, live theatre is on the way back.
Live theatre is on the way back, and that is, trying to think of a pun here, certainly music to my ears. I don't know what the theatre-based pun would be, but this is a piece of live theatre that you can enjoy in that particularly enchanting setting of Smock Alley Theatre there on the Quays. This is Changing the Seats by Harry Butler, and it premieres in the Boys' School wing of the theatre there at 6 o'clock this Thursday evening. And Changing the Seats tells the story of couple Robert and Patty, and it says, after all the swiping, the drinking, the small talk and the big talk is set aside, you get to see what really kind of happens between the couple, I guess. And it's a new comedy play which has been developed by the Playground Theatre, and it's one of several events which take place over the coming days as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival. Change of the Seats is running this coming Friday, Saturday and Sunday with daytime and evening performances, and there's other performances all over the coming days, the week and the weekend, as part of that festival too. The best thing to do is head to fringefest.com. The tickets for Change of the Seats are €14 or €12, but there's lots of different events and things on at fringefest.com, and you'll find them all there.
Deadly. Now, the another event that is in the real world, if you like, as opposed to the virtual world, is one at the Irish Museum of Modern Art, and that's coming this week.
It is indeed. I think nearly all of our events more or less are in person this week, and again kind of highlighting the full range of venues, I suppose, that have been made possible to host arts events, and the imagination and kind of innovation that has gone into all of these. So this is Cree Clan Integrated Dance Company, and they're premiering their latest work in the courtyard at the Irish Museum of Modern Arts this coming week as well. They say they promise an aerial and visual feast for the senses, and their new work is called In Place, and it features solo choreography and a duet, along with some specially commissioned music, costumes and lighting. It's choreographed by co-artistic director Tara Brandell, and it plays with the relationship between how fragile and yet durable the human body can be. So an interesting piece. It's an hour-long programme. It's going to be performed at IMA at the venue there at 8 p.m. this coming Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday evenings. Now, a top tip we should say for this one is if you book in advance the Friday night, Culture Night, you can of course get free tickets to see the display, as Friday night Culture Night is all about opening up the arts and making them accessible to everyone. But other than that, tickets for the preview show, which is coming up on Thursday, are €10, or else you can get them for 15 or 12 for the Saturday and Sunday night. So a couple of different choices there. You can find out all the details on the What's On tab at imma.ie. That's imma.ie.
Brilliant. And you've more on Culture Night now to finish up.
Yeah, so Culture Night is coming back, which will be certainly a welcome sign that things are heading in the right direction. It's taking place this Friday, it's the 17th of September, and it really is a chance to kind of access culture for free all around, of all different kinds, and fill up your sense of big culture and the arts, as the Arts Council and local authorities across Ireland are presenting a whole host of shows and different activities and family-friendly events, all for free. It's all about celebrating culture, creativity and the arts. Culture Night, of course, takes place every year on the third Friday of September. And this year, as things are starting to open back up, they're going to host a mix of online and offline events. Lots taking place in Dublin, lots taking place beyond Dublin too, but particularly looking a little bit closer to home, I guess, there's a 14 Henrietta Street Culture Club talk. There's a chance to hear an audio play presented by the Abbey Theatre. You can even maybe catch Keela playing in Temple Bar, join in an Irish Ceilidh at Club Conor na Gaeilge, discover the whole programme of events that are taking place on our doorstep at DCU, and lots more as well. So it really is, it's an exciting to see a full arts programme starting to come back now, and a sign of good things to come, no doubt. And lots of family friendly events there as well. I know the ARC Children's Theatre in Temple Bar have a number of different things on as well, so if that's of interest to you, you can check it out there. All of the details for Culture Night are at culturenight.ie, and just that tip as well, that you might like to book in advance, because obviously they are working in accordance with the COVID guidelines. The best thing to do is make sure that you get your tickets, and they're all for free.
Yeah, and no excuse to get out, not to get out and have a good night out and a safe night out. Now, Ken has got a ruling for us here, I'm sure. He nodded to me there, so I presume he has. Are puns actually a form of poetry?
Not really, no.
No.
So puns are
considered... We're going to have to try harder next week.
Yeah, a low form of humour, which may inspire...
We'll have poetry next week in the events, so we'll try... Yeah, I don't know if we could do the full events in poetry form, but...
No, maybe not.
That'll be fun, a whole programme in poetry. I attempted rhyme or...
What did you say, Ken? It's the lowest form of humour, is it?
Well, no, that's irony. But say puns may be used in poetry for comedic effect or to convey a dark sense of humour. Just an example was John Donne. He was a 7th century poet. He got married to his wife Anne, whose name was Moore. So he did a one-line one. John Donne, Anne Donne, undone after 16 years of marriage.
Well, I'm going to try a pun here into this next song. Is a pun a beautiful noise or not?
This is Near FM on 90.3. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride, with Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham, and you're very welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you have anything you would like us to feature, you can contact us on text, that's text 087-6944500, that's text 087-6944500. Dublin Community Cleanup 2021 takes place today from the 9th to the 19th of September, and will be proudly supported by four Dublin local authorities. The event was first created in 2019 and builds on the success of previous call to actions, whereby community groups have all come together for Dublin's biggest volunteer cleanup of the city's streets, canals, rivers, mountains and coastlines. And to find out more about this year's event, I'm now joined by Richard Curtin from Antashka. So, hi Richard, how are you? Good afternoon, welcome to the programme. I'm sure you're a little bit busy today.
Yeah, hi Ken, thanks for having me on. Yeah, so the Dublin Community Cleanup has kind of kicked off today, so it's running from the 11th to the 19th, so it's Saturday to the following Sunday. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting. We've lots of events kind of taking place across the capital.
So could you tell me what is Dublin's Community Cleanup Day or week all about?
Yeah, so what the Dublin Community Cleanup, it's kind of building on the success of a couple of years ago. It used to be the Dodder Action Day, and then there was the Dublin Canals Action Cleanup Days. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to build on the success of those river and canal cleanups and see if we could extend it across the entire capital. So kind of including kind of things like community cleanups and street cleanups, but also cleanups on the coast. So in 2019, we had the first one, and we had it only over a day, and we had 180 cleanups that took place. And then obviously 2020, we all know what happened there. So in 2021, what we decided to do was extend it out over the entire week, and yeah, to see how much more kind of we can get people involved in that. And it's kind of a really kind of good call to action, kind of pre-COVID or probably pre-restrictions.
Oh, hopefully it was, yeah. So when you say getting people involved, you know, we're talking maybe about groups or organizations in the community. So what type of people are getting involved in it, you know, today and across the week?
Yeah, it's a big, so it's everything from kind of residents, associations to kind of like sports clubs to church groups to community groups, like it's to even just individuals and families. So it's a wide variety of groups that are getting involved, and groups can register if they want to do a public cleanup, or if they want members of the public to join, or if they want to kind of have their own closed cleanups. So if you kind of go up onto our website, if you go onto the map, you'll see all the different cleanups that are taking place. And there's ones that you can just, as a volunteer, can join as well. So yeah, we've a wide family of kind of different groups that are getting involved with it.
Well, I'm obviously just, and forgive the bad pun, you know, people are going to get their hands dirty. So again, you know, is it too late to register? And, you know, I know people could register to get kits to help them clean up.
Yeah, no, it's not too late. You can keep, we're registering right up until the end of the week. And so if you want to get the kit, I would register ASAP. And see, what happens is when you register is you get sent an email with all the details. So how to kind of touch base with your local authority, what are the contact details to kind of get kit, but also the kind of contact details of how to arrange the collection of the rubbish post the cleanup.
Well, that was obviously one I was thinking about. You know, you go out and do it, and what happens when you obviously go out and you have all these bags filled? Who comes along and picks it up for you?
Yeah. So the whole like Dublin Community Cleanup is kind of a coalition of the kind of four local Dublin authorities, and you know, this event couldn't take place without them. So what they do is they apply all the kit, but they actually collect the rubbish post the cleanup as well. So they, all you have to do is arrange with your local authority and they will come pick it up either that day or the day after and that. So it's fantastic, the amazing work that those cleanup crews do in supporting this community call to action.
Well, one of the things, you know, I just looking through your website, and I have to say I was a little bit horrified, to be honest. And I was sort of saying that cigarettes account for 46% of all rubbish. And this is the one that really got me. We use 22,000 single-use cups per hour, 2 million a year, or 200 million a year, and 220,000 plastic bottles a day. We have a problem with rubbish in Dublin, do we?
Yeah. Like, they're kind of like national figures as well. So it's interesting in relation to, like, especially with cotton, with cigarette butts. Like, they, when they get into the marine environment especially, they're quite toxic to kind of biodiversity and that, because the leach chemicals and plastics and that. So, and it's interesting, it's still not a social no-no to kind of throw, like people would, like, unfortunately would throw cigarette butts on the ground. So it's very much important to get the message that is, you know, we need to kind of bin the butts. But also in relation to kind of like coffee cups and like a plastic water bottle, like, it's interesting, like you go back 20 years ago, these particular items weren't even in our they weren't even items that we consumed, but then in the space of 20 years, like, we're using 22,000 a day, an hour in relation
an
to
hour,
coffee
yeah.
cups. So what we're trying to kind of encourage, you know, if at all possible, that campaign or that communities kind of encourage the conscientious cup campaign, or bring a reusable coffee cup, and where possible that cafes would support that. And the same with water bottles as well. There are kind of ways, if you have a reusable water bottle, they can reduce your consumption of these plastic items.
Okay, well, I say that there is unfortunately, there's more rubbish out there than there should be. And unfortunately, somebody needs to go out and pick it up. And, you know, congratulations to all the volunteers to do it. As you're saying, there's a lot of groups involved in this. But if someone's listening to it and say, look, I'd love to get involved, you know, and I'm an individual as opposed to a group, what can they do, or how do they get involved?
Yeah, all they have to do is just jump onto our website, and then they're on the map. It literally locates, has all the kind of plotted all the points where the cleanups are taking place, and any of the blue ones, which are the blue plots, are kind of open to the public. So you just click on it, and it'll give you the time and the date and the meetup point of where the actual cleanup is, and all you have to do is just turn up and get involved.
That's cool. So that's great for people. And just for say, you know, we did mention at the start that this was being, you know, supported by the four local county councils. But you're from Untashka. How are Untashka being involved in this?
Yeah, so very much. I'm the coastal program officer with Clean Coast, and I look after the Dublin region. So our approach is very much source to sea. So if we can stop it in its in its streets, or if we can get it cleaned up in the streets, or if it's rivers, it's kind of stopping it getting out onto our marine environment. So yeah, we've been involved with this project for the last kind of 3 years, and we kind of help coordinate it. So it is like we love getting involved, and it's a fantastic way to kind of having a bigger impact across the capital, and also kind of collaborate with these wonderful different community groups that mightn't normally kind of engage with our kind of coastal work.
Well, that's great. You mentioned a map and a website. So specifically, where would I find that type of detail?
Yeah, so the website is dublincommunitycleanup.ie. And literally, when you go onto the website, there's literally a tab up the top, options to register now, or there's one that click on, it says map. If you just click on the map, it'll bring up that map of all the kind of existing kind of cleanups. And then, as I said, when you register for the actual, so that's if you want to kind of join an existing cleanup. But if you want to organize your own cleanup, just click on register now, fill out your details, and you'll be sent an email with all the kind of information of how to kind of get your kit and how to promote your cleanup and how to kind of get the rubbish collected after and that. So everything's covered based.
Well, thanks very much for that. But just one quick question. Obviously, just you're saying you did it in 2019, and obviously, for obvious reasons, it didn't happen last year. So has that had any impact in terms of numbers taken part this year, or registrations going?
Yes, the registrations are quite positive. We're up to about 140 registrations as of today, and they're still kind of coming in that. And so yeah, so it's exciting to see, and obviously, you know, with all the kind of going back to school and stuff like that. So normally this project would have taken place in April, but obviously we're putting it out in September to kind of show a bit of love back to our capital for this year.
Okay, well, I hope we'll all have a little go very well for you. And, you know, we'll see lots of people out and about over the next week. So maybe wish you every success with it.
Yeah, hopefully anyway, Ken. And look, as I said, jump onto the website. Or if anyone has any questions, they can just follow up with us.
Okay, really appreciate you taking your time today.
Thanks for having me on, Ken.
Thanks again, Richard, and thanks a million to Ken too. So before I finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities every week. And in fact, this week there are 28 requests for volunteers and 316 job offers. Now, the volunteering opportunity this week that I want to highlight is from Avenus. Avenus are a domestic abuse support agency working with women and children who are or have been affected by domestic abuse. And they're located close to us here in Dublin 17. They're looking for Christmas helpers who can give them a commitment of 4 hours per week, starting in October, running right through to December. Any interested applicants should forward their CV and a short covering letter stating their suitability for the role. And you need to send that to admin@evenus.org, AOIBHNEAS.org. And you need to do that by Friday the 17th of September and mark it for the attention of Christina Santa Maria, SantaMaria. And that's all you have to do. Now, the job offer we have, I'm going to highlight the same one as we did last week because we can and because Ken is the boss of this organisation and we really want to help him out to get somebody in this role. ADHD Ireland is a grassroots charity set up by and for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. ADHD Ireland, previously called HADD, has existed now for over 30 years, originally established by parents of children with ADHD as a local family support group. Over the years, ADHD Ireland has grown and developed to provide a range of supports and services for people affected by ADHD right across Ireland. And now they're looking to recruit a part-time service development manager who will be located at the Carmichael Centre in North Brunswick Street. Now, if that's one that interests you, you can send your CV with a covering letter explaining why you wish to apply for the position, highlighting your relevant skills and experience to Nicola Coss, and you'll get Nicola@ADHDIreland.ie. That's Nicola@ADHDIreland.ie, and use the reference there, Service Development Manager, and you also need to get that there by 5 p.m. on Friday, the 17th of September. Well, that's it for this week, for the Week in Review. Thanks a million to all our contributors to the programme this week. And as always, if you want to get in touch, well, the best way to do that is on Twitter. You'll find me @NearFM, @DeclanRalph, hashtag Week in Review. So from Sarah, Ken and myself, Declan Ralph, we'll all be back at the same time next week. That's 12:30 Saturday lunchtime. See you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.